Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 5. It's a story you all know, but I want us to just take a moment and go there. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now in Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, there is a pool, which in Hebrew is called Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great crowd of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. After the stirring of the water, whoever stepped in first was healed of whatever disease he had. A certain man was there who had an illness for 38 years. I want to stop there. Turn now in your Bibles back to Ezekiel chapter 47, if you will, please. Then he brought me back to the door of the temple, and water was flowing out from under the threshold of the temple eastward, for the front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from under from the right side of the temple south of the altar. Then he brought me out of the way by way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces east, and the water was coming out on the south side. Then the man who had the line in his hand went eastward. He measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the water, and the water reached the ankles. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water, and the water reached the knees. Again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the water. The water reached the loins. And afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the water had risen. Enough water to swim in. A river that could not be passed over. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. When I had returned, I saw on the bank of the river very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then he said to me, this water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it flows into the sea, the water will become fresh. Every living creature that swarms wherever the rivers go will live, and there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come there, and the others become fresh. Thus everything shall live wherever the river comes. It shall come to pass that the fishermen shall stand upon it. From En-Gedi even to En-Eglaim, there shall be a place to spread out nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the Mediterranean Sea, exceedingly many. But its miry places and its marshes shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. By the river, upon its bank, on this side and on that side, shall grow all kinds of trees for food, whose leaf shall not fade, nor shall its fruit fail. They shall bring forth fruit according to their months, because their water issues out of the sanctuary, and their fruit shall be for food, and their leaves for medicine. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would just remove me from this place of men's knowledge, and Lord, that you would just bring into this place and into this presence by the Holy Spirit a revelation, a rhema word, Lord, that would so affect us and how we live, it would challenge us to do something greater, be something more, see something more wonderful than we've ever seen before, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. I've entitled this message this morning, God's Water Parks. You ever been to a water park? Yeah, amen. I have one in my bathroom. It's a big tub, and I swim in that tub. I lay there for an hour or so, and then I kick the plug out real fast, and I swim against the current. So I get my exercise. Great, great water park. Jesus says, in Jerusalem, there was a place called Bethesda. A place where there was a pool of water and there were five porches. And they brought to that place every day the sick, the infirm, the invalid. And they laid them alongside of that water. And when the water was stirred, the first one that went into the water was healed. And then we run into this guy that's sick and laid there for 38 years. I've been reading in the book of Ezekiel in my devotions, and I read this 47th chapter the other day, and it hit me, a story that I read some time ago about this place called Bethesda. A place where people gathered wanting to encounter the supernatural. Some needing a healing that if they didn't get it there, they were getting no place at all. Had to be there at the appropriate time. Had to be the first person in the water. Around that table this week with those other ministers and our regional bishop, we talked about the church and the situation in the church. And what I say this morning, I don't want it to be misunderstood. Please don't just, if you will, bear with me until it's over and you can see maybe where I want to go with this. A place where people come wanting to encounter God. And they sit there sometimes for years and years and years, and they never encounter God. And when God shows up, for some reason, they can't get to where God is. It's that story. Oh, you should have been here last week. Woo! Sometimes the church begins to look just like the pool of Bethesda. Every Sunday we come. Hopefully you come for an encounter with God. And when God shows up, hopefully you're here. And when God shows up, hopefully there's not somebody in your road that you can get to the pool. What do you mean by that? Whenever there is a move of God or a stirring of God, a supernatural thing of God, there will always be somebody who will stand up and say, I don't know, that may not be God. I've done that. And because of that, sometimes our encounters with God are very few and very far between. There should not be a day that we walk through the door of that church and sit down that we are not face to face with Almighty God. That's the way He meant it to be. But you see, I don't know if you've ever been to a professional ball game, baseball, football, whatever. When you go through the front gates, there's always somebody there to hand you something for $5 or $10 or whatever it is. But they're always there to give you something. When you come through the door, many, many times, the devil is standing right outside the door, waiting for you to come in and say, "Here, take this." And how many times I've reached out and taken it. A couple of times even said, "Thank you." So we come in carrying stuff, burdened by stuff. And because of that stuff, we leave here
with more than what we came in with. But it ain't of God. It's whatever was handed to us when we came in, and the hour or 2 hours that we allow it to fester and grow until we go home. That's been a problem as long as there have been churches. Let me tell you, because that's just the devil's plan. We were talking about this, Dave Smith, down at the Pueblo Church. It's our biggest church in a lot of places. He's got a lot of people coming to his church. And I said, what's your Sunday like? He says, well, I get up at this, so, and I do that, and I finish my sermon, and make sure the PowerPoints are right, and I make sure this is that, and the other thing. And he says, I get a lot of praying in. He says, then about 15 minutes before the service starts, he says, I walk in, shake some hands. 15 minutes, boy, that's a long time to bathe with your sheep. He says, no. He says, I do not want to go to the pulpit carrying something with me that somebody out there handed me on my way to the pulpit. And I'm telling you this, it's difficult. Pastor, did you know? Pastor, you gotta read this. Pastor, you gotta watch this. I'm sorry. Yeah, edit that, please. There, would you know? Sometimes that's just facts. And all of this stuff, through all of this stuff, we take a time, and if we are cognizant of what is supposed to be going on here and what God is all about, we hit a place in that time of praise and worship where suddenly we rise above all of that stuff. We get above, we pop through that layer of dark black clouds, and we pop into that blue sky of God's presence. And we leave here and say, oh my God, was God. God was there today. God was there today. God heals somebody. We've had healings. Holy moly. We've had some healings the last couple of months. It's just been absolutely phenomenal. I want to tell Jesse Kelly's story so bad, but I'm not going to. Till he's going to preach for us in a couple, 2-3 weeks, and I'm going to let him tell his story. Tom Oversoul, sitting back there telling about a young man that prayed for him and in church, and God touched him. He had a completely torn rotator cuff, and when you hugged Tom, it was kind of a sad thing, because Tom came up and he was kind of like trying to get his arm up around you because he couldn't lift it. God healed him. He stood over here one night and he says, look at this. And Dr. Hunter was saying, hey, you got to have extensive surgery, got to have this, got to have that. And God did something. God does those things. That's one water park. Kind of the kiddie pool. Then we go to the book of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel gets this vision. He's taken, he's shown something. He's taken to the temple. And he's shown that the temple of God has sprung a leak. The water is not all hung up in the temple. The water now is moving out of the temple. On the south side of the eastern side, the southeast side of the temple. And God says, I want you to see something here. And it's incredible to me. If you've already heard this sermon, just that's okay. Just nod your head and say, you're right, okay? There's an angel that goes with him, a man. The man begins to walk, and he walks out 1,000 cubits, when whoever Bible you want to read is somewhere around 1,800 feet, or out there about 600 yards. And the water, he calls Ezekiel out, and Ezekiel walks out, and the water is at the level of the ankle. The man walks again. He walks 1,000 cubits, and the water is at the knees. And he leaves him there, and he walks out a little farther, and Ezekiel goes out with him, and the water is to the loins. And then he goes 1,800 feet, 600 yards. So he's covered over 1 mile now. And he's in the place, the last place, that the water is so deep you can't walk in it. It's swimming level. And each of these places, the man gave Ezekiel the opportunity to stop where he was. But the man, or the angel, or perhaps God himself, walked out, and Ezekiel followed him out. And it got to his knees. Well, you can stand there on your knees if you want to. I'm going on. Come on out here and try this. You ever seen little kids at a swimming pool? And they give kids a diving board, and you'll see things, gyrations and tricks and stuff like you had never seen before in your life. Tank Maestas. All about nearly, I don't know, I think he was 250 pounds as a senior. But he was one of the most graceful men on diving board I ever saw. And he could hit that board, and his weight would throw him up there amongst the rafters. And he would come down with the best cannonball you ever saw. He could put water from one end of that pool to the other. But I saw other kids try things, to include yours truly, that didn't end up with the same beauty, the same form, the same things. But there was water. There was water to get in. There was water to play in. There was water to try to outdo your buddies, to see who could dive the coolest and do the neatest flips and flops and all those kinds of things. And I ate that stuff up. You did too. I know you did. Sometimes when we leave the church and we get to a place where we're 1 mile wide and 1 inch deep. You know what happens when water is 1 mile wide and 1 inch deep? It evaporates. It goes away. It's the trouble with Antero Reservoir. That's why we're not fishing now, is they can't keep the water in the crazy thing. But you can go on a little farther and get up to your knees. That's fun to wade around, splash in, get in the little kiddie pool. Or if you want to, you can even come out here a little farther if you want, and you can get up to your loins above your waist. Now that's pretty cool. You can do more things in that depth of water. Or you can get out to the place where you have to swim. You can't splash, you can't walk, you can't wade. You have got to get in and start swimming around in the water. It is so deep. What if the grace of God in some place in this world got to be so deep that you had to swim in that grace? Not just a little bit of grace, but grace that was so wonderful you'd realize it covers all of my sin. What if the power of God got to be so deep that I wasn't just sitting in it at church every now and then? I'm swimming in this stuff. Monday through Sunday, I'm swimming in the power of Almighty God. What if it got so deep and so strong that once I got out there, I couldn't even swim against it. I just had to go along with the river. What would happen? We got two water parks now. You know, you got the one that the one that you come to. You know, if you want to get saved, go to church. You want to get healed, go to church. If you need counseling, go to church. Amen. If you need friendship, go to church. Whatever you need, go to church. What if we took some of that enthusiasm, went outside with it? What if it started leaking under the door? I'm saying this. God's power grows more powerful as it gets away from the church. We wonder why God is doing so much around the world and He's only doing every now and then. And this is where I want you to understand. I'm not talking bad. I'm not talking down to the church. I'm just talking about we don't see the things that God says we ought to see. Sometimes there's lots of reasons for it. You ain't going to get forgiven until you forgive. You ain't going to get healed packing around a whole lot of hate and discontent. You're not going to be blessed until you're willing to get on your knees and tell God, I have been an absolute grade A blue ribbon idiot. And I need to get saved. Sometimes that doesn't happen for all of the political things that happen in a church. Jesus did not say, where there are two or three gathered together, there shall be politics. He said, where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I'll be there. Why do we always wonder why things are going around the world? Because they haven't had a chance to get all church politics yet. Why is it that Mike and Vicky and Jacob, they're going to see people healed? I believe they're going to see blind eyes open. I bet deaf are going to hear, that the lame are going to walk. Why is there? Because there's no church over there telling them that can't be done. We can play around the waiting pool all we want, but God's power becomes greater, deeper, more powerful the farther it gets away from the church, from the building. What are some things that might happen if people who have experienced the power and presence of God would walk out the door with that power and presence all over them into a world that doesn't really know or see God? What if they saw somebody so empowered by the Spirit of God that immediately somebody says there's something really, really weird about them? Oh, they used to call us holy rollers for a reason. Because there was something that was really weird about us. People talk different. They look different. Not so much anymore. God help us not to live one way inside the church and live another way outside of the church. I heard Sister Hillary say a couple, two or three weeks ago, I guess it was, that there's a private life and a public life. Not so in the Christian church. There is life. There is life. Life lived within, life lived without. So what happens when this water goes out? This river went down the Jordan Valley into what? The Dead Sea. You ever wonder why they call it the Dead Sea? There's nothing living in it. All there is in the Dead Sea is very expensive sand and salt that they put in little jars and sell it down at the Citadel and other things for like many, many, many bucks. But nothing else lives there. But this river goes down, it touches that Dead Sea, and it brings it, the Bible says, to life again. You mean there is a river that could hit another piece of water that's absolutely dead and cause it to come alive, to sustain life, to sustain fish. It says, just like the sea, the fishermen cast their nets and they took out nets, fish like the sea. My Bible puts Mediterranean in there so it'll understand what he's talking about. Is there a power that can change something from absolute death to absolute life? Yes. Yes. And amen. It's the river that flows out from underneath the threshold of the temple of God. The healing waters of the Holy Spirit can absolutely change the deadness and the darkness of this world. I told the guys the other day, I says, I love what you're talking about. I love the ideas that you got. I love the things that you want to get started. I love the way that you want to plant churches. I love the way that you want to see things are going to happen. But if the Holy Ghost is not in it, they labor in vain. We will labor in vain unless the Spirit of God is in our churches and in our plannings and in all our functions in the church. We're dead in the water. If the Holy Spirit started it, I cannot think that in 2016 I can come up with a better plan. I can't. What this world has got to see is an absolute supernatural encounter with God. What our churches have got to see is a supernatural encounter with the living God. What happens? Verse 11 says, but its miry places and its marshes shall not be healed. There are places where the river once was, but for whatever reason, the river has gone away now. There's still water. There's still part of something. There's still a remembrance, a recollection, an evidence of something that once happened. But there is no freshness. There is no movement. There is no constantly in that place of movement. It's stale water. And when stale water, those ponds that are allowed to just sit there, pretty soon they got every manner of ugly, snotty, green weeds and polywogs and frogs and things that only bring happiness to a 5-year-old. But not if you want to catch fish. Not if you want to catch fish. Not if you want to see life. But the river that's moving, the river that's going on, verse 12, by the river upon its bank, on this side and on that side shall grow all kinds of trees for food, whose leaves shall not fade, nor shall its fruit fail. You want to be in that river. You want to be following the course of that river. You want to be close to that river. Brother, sister, you're going to grow. You're going to absolutely grow. Your roots go down into that Spirit of God. You're going to grow and your fruit is going to be there. There is no way, if you are connected to Jesus Christ, who is the root, that you are not going to bear fruit. Let me just say this. My partner in crime for a year while I was in Korea, Pastor Bruce Truett and I used to travel around together and visit the camps and things. He said it this way, if there ain't no root, there ain't no fruit. Period. Period. If you're not bearing fruit, check the roots. You have no chance but to be one fruit-bearing, green, shiny, big old living tree. Verse 13. No, verse verse 12. They shall bring forth fruit according to their months, according to the time, according to the epoch, according to the time period that you're in. Whatever situation you're in, if you are tied into the river of God, no matter what time of the year it is, no matter what time in your life you are, no matter what the situation is in this period of your life, you are going to bring forth fruit. That ought to be enough to make me want to stay on my face before God until water's gushing out of me like a rampant fire hydrant. Jesus said that. If we abide in Him, out of His belly shall flow rivers, not drip, 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 rivers of living water. No matter what season of life you're in, no matter what your situation is, if you are tied into that river that's flowing down to the Dead Sea and has made your life, if you are in that situation, you're going to bear fruit. You got no choice. Say that. I got no choice. Got no choice. Just deal with it. Amen. Just pop, 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 pop. Amen. Amen. It happens because their water issues out of the sanctuary. It issues from the throne of God. And look at this last part of that 12th verse. Their fruit shall be for food, and their leaves for medicine. We get out of that pool of Bethesda mindset and we get into the idea that God has a river that's flowing and we get into that river. It's okay if you run around ankle deep. You can splash till you're crazy. God's going to bless you. God's got ankle deep grace for you. But I would hope that we are in this foot race like wild people to get to the place where God is moving in miracle and signs and wonders, and the world is seeing that there is a church. It's alive. It's powerful. It's not about hymns and money and new buildings. It's about people that love God and love one another. And God is working miracles in those people. That's what happened to the early church. The Bible says the whole city feared them. Man, we could just get lined up. I hate to tell this story, but it's the truth. We had a place when we were young. We were about 8 years old, 9 years old. Chardon, Montana. And we were always looking for a swimming hole. Always looking. We were always looking for a swimming hole, basically because we could go to the swimming hole and nobody could find us. Because like my great-grandmother and all my relatives, they knew. They knew where we were at. So we were always looking for a new one. We found this one really, really cool one where you came down the mountain. It was just a big lake. It was a pretty kind of a green color, but it was gorgeous. Had a big old huge pipe running out into that. Man, we would get on that pipe. We would run like, ah! My uncle followed us one time. He says, "You have any idea what that is?" Swimming hole. Swimming hole. It's got a neat pipe you can jump off. He says, "That is the new sewer pond." I didn't tell my wife that story till I was 37 because I thought she wouldn't. I had to live in the shower. But I would tell you they were just getting it fixed. It was just starting to fill up. But man, you could swim in it. It was cool. Wouldn't it be so that we would be so hungry for more of God that we would be willing to splish, splash through the ankle deep, through the knee stuff, to the loin stuff, dog paddle until we're in the swimming place, and then all of a sudden we're in a river and we're going to bring life to everything that's dead. I like that story a whole lot more than sitting on my hinder sides for 38 years. Wonder if I can be the first one into the water. God's grace is big grace. God did not leave us hopeless. God has given to us His Holy Spirit so that He might be our guide, our power, our worker, the one to come alongside of us to tell us, bro, there's more to be had. Sister, there is more to be had. This is not all there is. If your Christian faith is getting a little tedious, as it were, like, it's the same thing every single Sunday, it's the same thing. Well, get out of the pool of Bethesda and head for the river. See how far you can get away from the church into the world that needs to see you out there.
Yeah.
And I believe, this little heart of mine believes that you're going to see things like you never, ever, never imagined. It's out there. It's out there. It's out there. Amen. Read the story this week. I want to close. Read the story this week of missionaries to Afghanistan. Dangerous, dangerous, dangerous place. In fact, probably very few people know that they are missionaries. But what's happening is this Jesus dream. They call it the Jesus dream. And their story goes like this. I went to bed last night and Isha came in my sleep. And he told me that I was worshiping the wrong God, that I should be worshiping him. So I came to this house. Can you help me with this Isha and this dream of Isha? The missionaries are saying, my God, I am so far away from what I know to be church. But out here, I am seeing things that are absolutely incredible. God help us to seek more. God help us to say, I'm not happy right now in this. I want to go somewhere else. God, where is it that you want me to go? Now, I'm not telling you, please understand, I am not telling you to pick up and say, well, I'm going to go to another church. I think they need me over there. No, you got to go through a long, tedious process to do that. Men haven't even heard of yet. But you're just willing to tell God, God, maybe it's only going to be in the ankles for a while until I get used to it. But I want to be more. I want to do more. I want to see more. Because I have a feeling that this great big God of ours has not shown us everything He's got up His sleeve yet. Amen. 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 Could we pray? Father, I thank You for this body of believers, this group, this family we call the upper room. I thank You for every heart in here this morning. I thank You, Lord, for every prayer that goes up right now. For every word that comes from the silence of our heart right now that says, God, could it be possible? Right now in that situation, Lord, would You assure them it's not only possible, but it is reality. Father, You've said that these signs will follow them that believe. We live in a world where they try to figure everything out by their minds. Lord, would You just come in and wreck the whole thing by the Holy Spirit? Would you just come into our little places of religion and just turn the tables over? And show us that there is another way, a greater way. And we have no fear in going deeper. We have no fear in going beyond that you're bringing us to a place of rhema, a new revelation of just how wonderful you are. God, you have been so good to us. But Lord, you're a God that can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to go. And we want to thank you for that. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I pray this morning, Lord, that Brother Troy is home and he's safe. I pray, Lord God, that as you have spoke to him over this week, Lord God, that his depth will be greater in you than it ever has been, and he would take that call that you had given to him, no matter what people say. I thank you, Lord, for the relationship this church has with him. But Lord, I want to thank you so much for Jesus Christ, who has given us a relationship with you. It's not about men or women. It's about who you are. Lord, could we say of an honesty this morning, we fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Everything that we are, we have sold out to Jesus. Everything I am is because of Jesus Christ. And Lord, whatever you bring in my future, I can overcome because I'm in Jesus. My confession is to who you are. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let me ask across this building. Maybe you've kind of let that fall aside a little bit. And you've thought church could kind of do what you need to do. It'll never do it. Are you willing this morning to say to him, Lord, once more, you will hear from my lips, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. That's all he wants to hear. That's all he wants to hear. I will walk in your path, Lord, as the light of your scripture gives me to walk. I will walk in your way, Lord, listening to the Holy Spirit, listening to what the counsel of God is. I will seek you out in all things, in all matters. I will come boldly, not arrogantly, but boldly to the throne of grace when I need help in time of need. My life is yours, Lord. I give it to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And everyone said amen and amen, amen. I pray that you prayed that and you meant it from the very bottom of your heart. That's what it's going to take. I wished it was so easy that I could ask you to get up, come down, and shake my hand. Look in the eye and say, you're going to heaven, brother. I can't do that anymore. Nobody can do that. It's what you're doing down in here. It's what's real down here. In Jesus' name.